You're listening to the Bethel College Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Hope says hi to you who know her, and she says hi to those of you who don't. Thanks for coming this morning after Scripture 66. That's a remarkably powerful process. It's a great ministry idea. It's amazing that all of you spend 66 hours crammed into Shiloh. That's an astonishing thing. I have a great ministry idea, too. I keep talking to churches about it as part of my work with Center for Congregations, and I tell them about it, and they smile, and they nod, and they go on with their conversation. So I will tell you, because if the research is right, you are the people to talk to. I mean, the research that you've been hearing about for the last couple of weeks, the research that says you are aware of and responsive to diversity, the research that says you're capable of identifying with people, you're capable of being empathic, the research that says you're open to those who are finding God, and you are open to God, the research that says you care about making a difference, but you aren't sure about all the ways that previous generations have worked at making a difference. The research that says you are special, more special than any other generation ever. And that's why John invited a final speaker who is older than any three of you put together, but who also ran 3 miles this morning, so take that. Anyway, here's my ministry idea. Potluck and pie. It first came to mind this summer in the church basement of the Litchfield Congregational Church in Litchfield, Michigan. It's about 15 minutes or 15 miles or so from Hillsdale, Michigan, between here and there. The church is small because Litchfield is small. The church is about 20 or 30 feet from the elementary school where Nancy went to school and which closed several decades ago because of asbestos. The church basement is the kind of church basement that you expect in a small town. One big room, metal folding chairs, 3 posts running down the center of it. There are Jesus pictures on the wall and other kinds of posters as well. Back in the far corner, there's a tiny kitchen, the kind with the pass-through window. There are about 5 tables on each side, the 8-foot tables with just enough room on each side to get through. And they have potluck and pie. The potluck tables, of course, run right down the middle, in between the posts that run through the middle. The pie and the rest of the desserts are back in the far corner on their own table, right by the kitchen and right by the drinks. A bunch of people walk into this room. And they find their places at the tables that have plastic flowers on them and paper placemats at each place. One of the ministers in the room says grace, and then people go through the line and then they eat. And eventually people start to laugh a little bit. They drag chairs from one table to another as conversation's going on. They have conversation and potluck and pie. And they begin a process of healing a little in this church basement. What you haven't noticed yet, because I haven't told you yet, is that they're wearing clothes that aren't exactly comfortable. They're wearing suits that they hardly ever wear. They're wearing black dresses sometimes that belong other places. The minister is there because this is a group of family and friends who have come to this basement to eat and to tell stories after they buried someone they loved. Because this potluck and pie is a funeral dinner. At this particular dinner after the funeral of my sister-in-law, most of the people haven't been in church for a long time. There isn't much that appeals to them in the churches that are around. And some of them at this moment aren't sure what to do about a God who allowed their wife and sister and sister-in-law and mom and grandma and friend to die at 70-something. Much more suddenly than anyone expected. But the potluck and pie and hospitality of a small group of ladies gave this family a setting for those conversations. The food that they brought, the food from some other churches in the neighborhood that bring potluck in this little church basement, helped the healing to start. It's a little church that doesn't ask, "Do you attend our church?" before saying to hurting friends that have very loose church ties, "Come and eat here." There's no attendance requirement. There's no giving requirement. There's mostly just a hurting requirement. Is your heart broke? Did the funeral just happen? Come here and eat. It's a ministry idea I keep trying to sell. Potluck and pie, funeral dinners for people who aren't part of your church. Now, here's part of my understanding of God. I would call it my theology, but I don't do theology. But my understanding of God says that God made us to eat. And God made us to tell stories. And God invites us over and over to tables. And God has put an expiration date on breathing that applies to just about 100% of us. As a hospital chaplain, I know this. Every week, almost every shift, I show up in a hospital room where someone is about to die or has just died. It's happened 70 times since Christmas. And what chaplains in our hospitals do is we show up to say, "I'm sorry," and we show up to say, "What funeral home?" We are compassion and we are administration. And as helpful as compassion is, administration is incredibly helpful too. What happens here next? What do I do now in the next few minutes? What are you going to do with the body? And I talk to people and I sit with people who are in those moments of pain. Last week, one of your approximate age peers said, "I can't do this." It's $2 down. Texts were pushing on her dad's chest. And I knew what she meant when she said, "I can't do this." And I knew that she would keep going. And I knew that she hurt. And I knew that I might be able to help a little bit. And I and another chaplain helped her and her family know what next steps to take. There's an incredibly rich ministry that happens in helping people take next practical steps. God's gifted some people to preach funeral services. He's also gifted some people to make amazing pies and some people to have money to stop at the market house in Hillsdale and pick up roasted chicken. And God has walked through the most painful moments of life with people, like losing a child and losing a parent and losing a spouse. In fact, God has walked through the most painful moments of life. Losing a child, being rejected by a parent, being betrayed over and over and over and over by a spouse. And all of those things that are true about God and us can intersect in an intensely practical way in the basement of the Litchfield Congregational Church, or in your church basement, or in your living room. I teach spiritual formation here in the grad program. And we talk about spiritual disciplines, things like solitude and silence and fasting and prayer and Lectio Divina. And you know all about some of those things. You may be, like some of us, pretty cynical about some of those things. How could they work magic? Or you might be pretty obsessed, trying to measure up, trying to make God happy by how well you can do those things. And you're not the first people to do either of those things, to experience either of those feelings. God talked to the people of Israel through Isaiah. And in what we know as Isaiah 58, God decided to start talking to them about fasting. And here's what God said, loosely paraphrased. "Fasting. You talk to me about fasting? You stop eating for a while, and then you say that you're doing it for me, But here's a couple of things that you do. You fast for a few hours, and then you say, do we have your attention yet, God? Are you going to do what we ask yet, God? And then you're cranky. You make your employees still show up for work, even while you're off fasting. You make them work hard to make up for you, and then you get cranky with them because you haven't eaten. That's not what fasting is all about, God says, making me do things for you, making everyone else miserable too. And we read from Isaiah, is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. I don't want empty bellies, God says. That's not what connects me to you. I want open hands, and I want clearable calendars. Empty of you, open for me. I want you to take the food that you are going to give up, and I want you to sit down and share it at a table with those who don't have food, and eat it together. Your belly will be only half empty. But you emptied your calendar, and as you sit with them, absorbing their pain, sharing their story, I will be with you. I want you to invite people without a home into your home, not sending money and feeling good, not sending a prayer to feel good. Empty out a bedroom and bring somebody home, and I will be with you. I want you to invite people with one change of clothes into your closet to shop there with you, looking at what you have that fits, regardless of how new it is. Empty your closet and be their mirror. Tell them how good they look wearing your clothes. And I will be with you in your family. The family that you want to abandon for Jesus. One afternoon, Nancy and I got a call from a couple that we'd been talking to, and the wife said, we just had an argument and we talked about divorcing. Would you, John, come and talk to him? And so when he came home, I was sitting on the back step, and we went and ate pizza together. And they had gotten into an argument because he wanted to go to Papua New Guinea, because he wanted to be a missionary, because he wanted to serve Jesus. But it seemed like she and the kids were getting in the way of that. And so maybe they ought to get divorced so he could go serve God. They eventually did get the divorce, and he's not in Papua New Guinea. Friends, we are so afraid of empty. We are so afraid of measuring up. We are so afraid. As humans, we hold on to control. No matter what our age, no matter what our denomination, no matter what our view of God, we want to hold on. And in that holding on to our pictures of what God wants, in that holding on to our pictures of what we want, we end up not being very helpful. But today, tomorrow, the next day, there is an invitation for us to simply act, to join God's faithful of all generations who are choosing to fast with God, people who understand that hands-on, compassionate, calendar-emptying, heart-breaking, heart-expanding, Jesus-following living doesn't scale. You can't turn it into a massive ministry. It lives day by day, commitment by commitment, mistake by apology, story by story, relationship by relationship, breath by breath. And now I want to go back to potluck and pie and eating with and funeral dinners, because some of you have lost someone close to you. In fact, this whole time that I've been talking, you have been fighting with the tears and the hole in your heart. And I'm sorry. I took a risk to mention that at the beginning, and I knew it was a risk that I was taking. But between you and me, I took that risk with my heart too. It's a risk that you and I might have a hard time sitting and listening and talking about my sister-in-law and your dad, about my father-in-law and your best friend, about our daughter and your daughter. I knew that all the rest of these people hearing about funeral dinners would think of it as an interesting thing. And you and I are thinking about what happened last summer and hurting. So here's my invitation for you and me in particular. What if you figured out an amazing macaroni and cheese recipe straight out of the box that you can buy for 89 cents, and you can cook, apparently, in your coffee pot? And then when you hear that someone's heart is empty because it just broke, you learn to fix them a meal. Potluck, or at least macaroni and cheese. And you learn to welcome them in, to sit quietly and eat together in a place where it is safe to cry and to laugh. What if you and four friends, in fact, last week, Suze talked about four friends on a roof lowering a person. Well, that person is well now. And that person and the four friends can sit and say, no one, as far as it's up to us, is ever going to eat alone after a funeral. Churches have meals for members, but we're going to offer meals to families who have no church. And you became known as the people who were there in the hardest moments of life, not with answers, but with presence. A presence that's rooted in the incarnational presence of Jesus. A presence that you understand a little from the inside. Because you and I know that well-meaning people say the stupidest things in moments of deep pain. Oh, you'll have another child. Jesus wanted another angel. You mean Jesus killed my baby? But what we also know is that at just the right moment, God provided one of those well-meaning people to sit silently with us. God's presence with us. Because empty isn't always empty. Not if it's full of the presence of Christ. Empty isn't always absent. Empty isn't always gaping, or it doesn't have to be. Empty can be open. Empty can be what we do with our schedules and our wallets when death shows up at inopportune times. Eat with people. Offer food and time. Offer prayer and presence. Because when you are sitting at a table eating potluck and Nancy's amazing apple pie, and you say, your mom must have been pretty remarkable. You are pouring out your life. And when you are the one who knows what it's like to lose a mom, as you empty your tears with somebody, God brings healing to their heart and to yours. Because as God said to Isaiah, I will be with you. And I know this because every time I walk into a room where a family has lost an infant, my tears mix with theirs. My healing offers them a glimmer that maybe you can do this. Potluck and pie. It's not a trademark. It will never scale. You never want to set up a central kitchen where standardized meals are prepared and shipped out all across the country. I don't want that. What I want is a place where people I know make the macaroni and cheese that they have perfected because it captures the love of Jesus and the brokenness of their hearts. And they empty their schedules just a little bit. And they fast by sharing a meal with me. In those moments, that's what I want. And 100% of the people around you will have the opportunity to want that too. You can do that. It doesn't take many words. It doesn't take much training. But Pollock and Pie can open conversations with people who need something to eat. And they need someone to eat that food with and someone to talk to. And someone who will let God's love seep into the conversation through tears and smiles and emptied schedules and open arms. So you don't have to start serving potluck and pie when you get to be an old lady as part of a little church in Litchfield, Michigan. You could actually start it this afternoon. I'm going to pray for you. The band's going to come, and then Elizabeth is going to wrap up the series that you've been part of. Let's pray. Father God, we try so hard. We give up so much for you. We wonder why you don't pay attention to us. And we forget. You don't want us to give stuff up for you. You want us with you to give things up. You want us to give up our control of conversations and to sit and share food with the people that you're trying to talk with. I ask that you will help this body of people not make a massive difference, but make those tiny, regular differences that show your love and compassion and care in 1,000 different relationships today and this week. And we thank you that we are part of your potluck and that you love us so much. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel College Chapel Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast and get more information at chapel.bethelcollege.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel College Chapel.